Chapter 9. Courage. Hawk looked at Fenris then, the pale light of the barren realm reflected off his eyes, making them glitter. It was not the flash of possession. Fenris knew very well how that looked. But still, for a single moment, Hawk's familiar dark eyes were the eyes of a stranger. His expression did not change at all. It was strange to see that mobile, good-natured face so still. Hawk had been a young man when he began his career in Kirkwall, but the creases of laughter had already been making themselves known around his eyes and the corners of his mouth. Fenris remembered noticing them on the late spring evening they had first met, before he even knew Hawk was a mage. And he had kissed that mouth. He had felt Hawk's laughter against his lips. There was a long and humiliating moment of silence. Fenris should have been expecting it. Hawk had proven without a doubt at the crossroads outside Wycombe that he did not feel a fraction of what Fenris felt, proved it once again by his silence now. Then Hawk smiled. Fenris was familiar with most of Hawk's smiles. This one, quick and convincingly sincere, usually went with attempts to be diplomatic. "Fenris," he said, in a reasonable tone that was also familiar. "I try to make allowances because all my friends are lunatics, but you're being particularly difficult right now." Whatever he meant to say would no doubt boil down to that, tactfully put. It would sound very sensible and practical. Fenris wanted nothing to do with it. "I will not change my mind," he said. Hawk promptly changed tacks. "Come on," he said, familiar joking tone, lopsided smirk. "You really want to hang out here forever? The scenery's awful and the company's not great either."
"I am aware."
Thousands of spirits and Hawk, who was possessed, who did not want him anymore. Fenris did not make the mistake of trying to argue. He just waited. Hawk opened his mouth and then closed it again, his face twisted. "For fuck's sake, Fenris," he said, and that was real, that anger. "I can't, all right? I can't. Could you please not make this any harder than it has to be?" Fenris swallowed.
"You expect me to walk away and leave you here as if it is easy?"
"Yes, yes, I do." "A year," Fenris said. "A year and this, and that is all you have to say to me." Hawk's jaw went tight. "There's nothing else to say," he said. "There can't be. This is the Fade, Fenris. Stick around here, and it's not a question of if you get possessed. It's when. Is that what you want? You? You hate magic. You hate spirits. You hated Anders even before he lost it."
"There was never a time when Anders had not lost it," Fenris said.
"Right. Like that. Well, I'm an abomination now. It's done." Hawk's voice was grim. "It's been a year, Fenris. You were fine. I know you never let anything go. I was there for Daenerys, but this is different. It has to be." He looked away. His voice went soft, reasonable, as if reason had any place in this conversation. "You have to let me go." Fenris said,
"I cannot."
"Well, forgive me if I'd rather not watch you stick around and..."
"Hawk,"
said Fenris, hating the desperation that leaked into his voice.
"I cannot."
"If Fenris is staying," said Meryl, suddenly and quite unexpectedly,
"then so am I."
Hawk looked startled. He too, it seemed, had forgotten the others were there.
Meryl planted her feet apart, folded her arms. For a fraction of a second, there was a ghostly figure of a Dalish woman standing behind her in the same pose. Keeper Marathari, fearsome as when she lived.
"Memory,"
the spirit Bethany had said. Hawk only took a second to recover.
"Meryl,"
he began,
in the tone of affectionate remonstrance he only ever used for her.
Don't patronize me, Hawk, Meryl said. Don't try to talk me out of it. You've never talked me out of anything, and I won't let you start now. You're being silly. Anders was fine for years.
6 years is not that long.
You're not an abomination. You're still you.
I don't think that's really how it works, Meryl.
And Fenris is right. And he'd be miserable here, and you're selfish,
Meryl finished. Hawk made an exasperated gesture. I am not forcing him to be crazy.
No, but you had to know he would be, said Meryl.
Thank you, said Fenris bitterly.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that, Meryl said.
She paused.
Well, I did, but not in a bad way. I think it's romantic.
Romantic? To tear his own heart out and lay it at Hawk's feet for nothing. But it was no matter. Fenris knew. There was a time when he could have turned his humiliation into anger and made the wound in his pride into a weapon. There was a time when he could have hated Hawk for this, for making him this, for breaking him open like this. But the time was gone, and he loved Hawk, could not stop loving him, would deceive himself no more. He had known, as he deciphered Varric's letter, that it was already much too late for his obstinate heart to ever let go.
So anyway, Meryl was saying, the point is that Hawk's being stupid and stubborn, and I'm staying too.
Me being stupid and stubborn is not an invitation for every elf I know to be stupid and stubborn with me, Hawk said. He was not aware of Fenris's turmoil. How could he be? It was not his concern.
Talk some sense into them, Varric.
Well, my friend, said Varric, I have to say, this is not really how Bianca and I were planning to spend the rest of our lives. He slung the crossbow off his back and planted it on the ground. Still, it's a nice lake. Hawk froze.
Please tell me you're kidding.
Oh, all the time, Varric said. But not about this. He undid a button on his coat, stretched, and sat down next to his crossbow, on the nearest greenish crag of fade stuff.
I'm gonna miss reality, he said thoughtfully. The ale, the gambling, the pretty girls, the hordes of screaming fans begging for the next brilliant literary masterpiece. Varric! But hey, at least the Dwarven Merchants Guild can't bother me anymore.
Varric chuckled. Then he leaned back on his perch and sighed the belly-deep sigh of a man not planning to move anytime soon.
I wonder if I can haunt my publisher from here. Or the Seeker. Now, that would make this whole thing worth it. What are you staring at, elf?
Fenris swallowed. I would never ask this of you. Of either of you. He said. Varric lifted his eyebrows, but he was smiling.
Who says you had to? We're your friends, Fenris,
Meryl said, as if that was all the explanation required. She turned on Hawk.
And we're your friends, she said, and we won't give up on you. We just won't.
Solas cleared his throat. All of them turned to look at him.
Not you two, Hawk said. We only met once. I know I'm charming, but no one is that charming.
Solas looked unimpressed.
If I may, he said, I have some expertise in matters involving spirits.
That's right, so you do, said Varric. Tell me you've got a better solution to Hawk's problem than staying in the Fade forever. Can we get the damn thing out of him somehow?
Solas ignored him.
Was it a spirit of courage? He asked.
Does it matter? Said Hawk.
Certainly. Otherwise I would not ask.
After a moment, Hawk nodded.
And you knew this when it came to you, Solas said. You offered yourself to the spirit freely and in full knowledge of its nature.
I suppose I did, said Hawk. Solas frowned.
Yes or no?
Then Yes, said Hawk. Yes. Fenris found himself imagining it. He wished he could stop, but the pictures came to him whether he liked it or not, and his mind could not ignore them. Hawk before a towering monster, facing it with his usual determination, but abandoned, alone, with no escape open to him. One small figure defying an undefeatable horror. Varric hissed, reaching for Bianca. Fenris followed his gaze. A shimmer in the pale sky resolved itself into a towering crag on the far side of the lake. A dark and spiraling storm cloud began to spread from its peak. Hawk glanced at it, made a face, and gestured one-handed. Crag and cloud vanished.
Do you mind? He said. Not a memory I want to relive, thank you.
Varric whistled in relief.
Nice trick. I thought for a moment there we'd have to fight the damn thing again.
I am asking you about these things because the information is relevant, Solas said. Try to avoid remembering the events too vividly. You must have received some magical training. Surely you realize the Fade reacts strongly to such thoughts. Control yourself.
Hawk rolled his eyes. Thanks for the tip, he said. Well, do you know a way to get rid of the spirit?
The spirit, as you understand it, is already gone, Solas said. Or rather, it is within you and part of you. You accepted it freely and with full knowledge. Now you can neither remove it nor destroy it. It will exist for as long as you do.
Great, said Hawk. So there's nothing to be done, and we're back where we started, which is where I'm a dangerous abomination, and you all need to come to your senses and leave.
You are not an abomination, Solas said. An abomination is, by its nature, abominable, twisted. But many mages over the years have entered into agreements like yours and continue to live their own lives, retaining control over their minds. I have seen the echoes of such bargains in the Fade. Some of the mages who made them you may even have heard of.
Hawk paused. Naked hope was on his face for a bare instant. Difficult to look at. Then it was gone, suspicion in its place.
Name one, he said. Solas shrugged. Flemeth.
You want me to take Flemeth as an example of a possessed mage who wasn't crazy? Hawk said. Maybe you haven't met her. I have. Twice. She was not what I'd call normal. Back me up here, Meryl.
She was a bit odd, Meryl said. Sort of. I can't explain it. She liked you, Hawk.
How could you tell? Hawk said.
She laughed at all your jokes. Even the bad ones.
She must have liked him a great deal, Fenris muttered, and Hawk cast him a sideways glance, lips twitching in a brief grin, before he seemed to remember himself and looked away again. It was as if Hawk could not bear to look at him. Perhaps he was embarrassed for Fenris, by Fenris's begging, his refusal. I cannot. Perhaps he knew, remembered, the things Fenris had said to his younger self. Perhaps.
Over the centuries, Flemeth has left her mark on many great events. Her echoes permeate the Fade. She is not normal, no, Solas said, but she is quite sane.
If Asha Belinar is possessed, Meryl said, what possessed her?
A spirit of justice, I believe, Solas said.
Well, that would fit the story, said Varric. Flemeth was out for vengeance for her husband, wasn't she?
Solas frowned. Justice. The distinction is significant. I grant that Flemeth is an unusual case. There are less dramatic examples, but it is less likely that you would have heard of them.
Give me one, Hawk said.
Just one example of a possessed mage who didn't end up losing their mind. Something you've seen.
Solas paused.
I saw an aged sorceress on the very edge of death, he said. Her time was done, and yet her work
still lay undone before her. She prayed for help, and her great faith was answered by a spirit. It was faith that raised her up to face the blight anew.
A Grey Warden, huh? Varric said.
No, said Solas. A human mage of the Ferelden Circle, during the Fifth Blight. Wynn was her name. The name was familiar, though Fenris could not place it exactly. He had heard enough stories of Ferelden's Blight. There had been a time, during his early days in Kirkwall, when one seldom heard anything else. Varric had taken occasional pleasure in embellishing the best of the tales he had heard, and Anders had always been fond of them.
You expect me to believe that Enchanter Wynn was an abomination?
Hawk said incredulously.
Ah, then you know who she is.
He's Ferelden, Chuckles. Of course he knows who she is, said Varric. That whole nation is obsessed with heroes. Well, heroes and dogs.
We also like mud, plaid, and the color brown, said Hawk. We have a wide and varied range of national stereotypes.
You distracted me, he rounded on Solas. Enchanter Wynn? Seriously?
She was no abomination, Solas said, but she was the willing avatar of a spirit of faith.
How is that different?
Solas paused.
To be the vessel of a spirit of faith, he said at last, or of any such virtue, justice, compassion, wisdom, is an honor. Such beings very seldom take much interest in the shadowy affairs of our realm. A mortal must be exceptional indeed to draw their attention. Presumably the spirit you met found you in some way exceptional.
His tone said that he found it hard to imagine how.
When the spirit submits to such a partnership, it is, essentially, destroyed. It cannot be separated from its chosen avatar again. It is a great sacrifice.
Hawk frowned.
Get to the point, Chuckles, Varric said.
Solas shrugged.
You are courage, he said.
No, it was a name. You are courage.
But your choices are yours. If you wish to avoid becoming an abomination, you must be courage. Embody it, freely and without hesitation. Betray the spirit which sacrificed itself for you, and it will turn on you. And since it is you, it can only twist upon itself and go mad. If, on the other hand, you live according to your nature, he shrugged once more, you will be no more abominable than I am.
In the quiet that followed, the raven that haunted this realm croaked from a perch in one of the spiky black trees. They all glanced at it. It croaked again. It had to be a spirit of some kind, Fenris thought. Here, everything was. Hawk laughed uncomfortably, scrubbed his hands over his face, and then said,
"This doesn't sound like anything I've ever learned." "Well, you weren't really trained very much, were you?"
Merrill said.
"I was trained by my father, thanks, and he was a senior enchanter before he left the Circle."
"But he left," Merrill said. "And the Circle doesn't know everything, I don't think. The Dalish do lots of things differently, and the Kunari have their own traditions of magic as well, don't they?"
"Tie them up and sew their mouths shut?" Hawk said.
"No, but... I mean, there are all sorts of things in the world. There are all sorts of things we don't know or can't explain. Not yet. That doesn't make them not true."
"A wise position," Solas said.
"Sounds reasonable to me," Varric said. "Blondie was crazy at the end, but, you know, Hawk, he really was fine for a long time before that. He only really went off the deep end once Vengeance showed up. I guess that counted as betraying the spirit. Maker knows vengeance isn't justice."
Hawk grimaced.
"What if you're wrong?"
he demanded. Solas spread out his hands, open palms, as if to say, "No secrets here."
"What if I am not?"
"You're making it all sound simple. I could still become a monster. I could hurt innocent people.
Do you know how many people died because Anders thought he could handle justice? How many people are still dying?
I saw a great deal of the Mage Templar War with the Inquisition, Solas said. I suspect I know the answer to those questions better than you.
What if I can't do it?
Solas cocked his head. Does the prospect frighten you?
Hawk breathed out sharply. For a fraction of a second, his eyes blazed with an unearthly golden color. Fenris flinched. He saw Hawk notice and go still. The golden light behind his eyes had faded already. It was too late to take the flinch back. Fenris had not meant to do it. Hawk deliberately turned away.
It frightens the hell out of me, he said. Not to any of them.
He was looking out at the lake. So I guess I'm doomed already.
Oh no, said Merrill. Not necessarily, Solas said.
You're telling me that to stay sane I have to stop being scared?
What do you think courage is?
Hawk stared out at the mirror glass water and did not answer. Fenris had to speak. He had never possessed anything approaching Varric's facility with words, nor even Hawk's or Anders. Both mages always quick-tongued and ready with the right phrases, as Fenris could never be. He had felt clumsy and hopeless the night Hawk's mother had died, but he had spoken all the same then, and he knew he had to say something now. He owed it to Hawk for that flinch. He did not know how to say it, and then he did.
From the first day I met you, he said, you have always laughed at fear. I know you had much to fear in Kirkwall, as a refugee, as an apostate, but you laughed. It was the first thing I admired about you.
Hawk turned. A brief ghost of a smile passed across his face.
Not the beard, he said.
Apart from the beard, Fenris said.
Well, that's something,
Hawk murmured. Except it was not the words that Fenris was paying attention to. It was the look in his eyes. The way he glanced down, smiling. Fenris could not make it match with his silence before. He wanted homemaker what he wanted. Foolish, blind. Hawk flirted like he breathed. It meant nothing. Varric coughed. Hawk startled. The smile fell off his face. He looked at Solas.
Is it that simple? I have to do things that scare me?
Surely you understand the nature of courage better than I ever could, Solas answered.
I have to say, Hawk, said Varric, if the key to your sanity is do as much terrifying shit as possible, I think you're good to go. I mean, have you met you?
That's true, chirped Merrill. You've fought the Vartaril twice.
You faced a high dragon, said Fenris.
And then there was the Arashok, said Varric.
He paused.
Also, multiple pride demons, assorted magisters, gangs of criminals, gangs of giant spiders, those weird rock monster things. Let's not talk about the time with the wyverns. And on top of all that, there's Nightmare. Has it ever occurred to you, Hawk, that your life is a bit weird?
All the time, said Hawk ruefully. He took a deep breath and straightened his shoulders. Okay, say Solas is right, and I'm not an abomination. Not yet, anyhow. Now what?
You fear the mortal plane, Solas said. You fear the future. You fear what you may become.
He took a careful step backwards, ragged robes flaring around him, and spread out one arm towards the ghostly Illuvian he and Merrill had created. It was an oddly theatrical gesture, and in that moment, the ragged elf seemed almost a ringmaster, a lord of ceremonies, like a noble at some grand celebration inviting his guests to begin to dance. Fenris's memory must have called something forward. For a single, sick instant, a ghostly version of Daenerys stood there behind Solas, resplendent in formal festival dress, smiling his host's smile as he had once at the start of a Saturnalia celebration.
Courage, said Solas,
instruction and invocation both, and the vision was gone. Fenris did not know if the others had seen.
"Point taken," said Hawk, his mouth lifted at one corner. "Looks like you won't get to haunt your seeker after all, Varric."
"It probably wouldn't have been as much fun as it sounds," Varric said. He picked up Bianca and slung her across his back. He was grinning.
"Oh, thank the creators," said Meryl. "I know you can do it, Hawk."
"Thanks, guys," said Hawk. He looked at Fenris then. His expression was unreadable. "Coming?" he said. As if there had been any other reason to stay. As if Fenris were not bound to follow at Hawk's heels like a dog. He could not let Hawk walk away from him again after this. He knew that. Not when the last time had ended with Hawk trapped here. He had no choice, after all. It was an oddly philosophical sort of misery that settled on him. If love was to make him a slave again, well, he had known worse masters. "Of course," was all he said. "If that is settled," Solas said tartly. Fenris turned toward him, grateful for the chance to avoid Hawk's eyes. "We should now concern ourselves with the orb. It needs to be cleansed of the taint as quickly as possible. It is quiescent, but the blight is inclined by nature to grow." His eyes were on Fenris, who remembered numbness and agony. The young Hawk's eyes widening in horror, red lines spreading under his skin like an infected wound. "I imagine your spell did not slow the process," he said. "Magic, as usual, makes everything worse. How long do I have before it blights me permanently, I wonder?"
"Don't talk like that," said Meryl. "We'll make it right."
"He is not wrong," Solas said, "though the answer is hard to predict. It depends on how well your markings were shaped." This to Fenris. "You have weeks, perhaps, if you are fortunate. Days, if you are not."
"No time to waste, then," said Hawk. "You better go first, Daisy,"
Varric said, nodding towards the ghostly alluvian.
"If that excitable apprentice of yours is home, you can reassure him before he tries to set the rest of us on fire."
"You have an apprentice?" said Hawk.
"I got 14, as a matter of fact," Meryl said. It was an accident."
"You accidentally acquired 14 apprentices?"
"It's all Aveline's fault, really," said Meryl. "I'll tell you later."
She looked at the alluvian.
"I've never actually gone through one of these before."
"Take it at a run," Varric advised. "Gives you less time to think about it."
"All right,"
Meryl said. She took a step back, then another, and then she ran through the mirror and was gone. Fenris followed her. The sensation was akin to walking through a waterfall. Brief, dread cold, and an awareness of something fearsomely strong pouring over you for a single instant. He stumbled out of the other side of the mirror and into Meryl's small, drab bedroom. Meryl was there, red-cheeked, still breathing hard.
"Oh, goodness," she said. "That felt strange. Oh, out of the way."
Fenris only just moved before Varric would have landed on him. "Hawk's right behind me," he said, and they all looked at the alluvian. It reflected only Meryl's bedroom. There was no way to know what was on the other side. Nothing happened. After a moment, Fenris realized he was holding his breath. The 90 seconds that passed before Hawk plunged through the mirror, gasping for air as if he really had just stepped through a curtain of freezing water, felt very long indeed. Hawk's face wore a terrible expression. He stumbled a few steps, caught himself on Meryl's bedpost, and then sat down hard among the tangle of shabby blankets on the bed. Solas stepped through the mirror in his wake, as calmly as if he did it every day. Meryl cried out as it cracked behind him. For an instant, Fenris thought he saw a dark-haired human child looking solemnly out of the cracked glass, watching her brother stumble away. Solas turned to look at the broken mirror. The spirit Bethany, if that was what it was, had already gone. "I'm afraid some damage was always a possibility," he said.
They were never intended for such a use. And a Rulin home should serve to repair it.
I know it's here somewhere, Meryl said.
She looked around uncertainly. The small room was crowded with the five of them in it. Fenris thought of leaving. It was done. They had achieved their goal. Hawk was safe for now. As safe as he could be, possessed as he was. Hawk was in the world of the living once more. Hawk.
Hawk?
Said Varric.
I'm fine,
Hawk said. He had not moved from Meryl's bed. He was still hanging onto the bedpost with one hand. There was a slightly wild look in his eyes.
Just fine, he said. Meryl, have I ever mentioned how much I like your house?
Really?
Meryl said.
It always seems to be a mess. Oh, by the Dreadwolf, I didn't even make the bed.
It's fine, Meryl, Hawk said. It's...
And he started to laugh. Fenris took a step towards him without thinking about it. His shoulder bumped Solus's. Hawk held up his hands.
I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, he said,
laughter still bubbling up under the words.
Really? Because you sound either crazy or drunk,
Varric said.
Maybe the second one, said Hawk. Oh, Maker, have you ever noticed how solid things are all the time?
Not lately, Varric said.
Trust me, said Hawk. It's worth appreciating.
His smile was broad, beautiful. Fenris wanted to take him in his arms, to kiss him, to shake him, possibly, forgetting himself trapped in dreams in the first place, to never let him go again. All things he could not have. Hawk took three long, deep breaths, as if to steady himself, muttered, "Courage," and let go of the bedpost. Gold flickered behind his eyes. Fenris forced himself not to flinch this time. It was not easy.
"The Arulan home," said Solus. "Where is it? We must repair the orb as quickly as possible."
"I know it's here somewhere," Meryl began.
And then the front door slammed open in the next room. They all startled. "Keeper!" someone shouted.
"Tarly?"
Meryl said. The young man appeared framed in the doorway to Meryl's bedroom. He was sweating, disheveled, and, Fenris judged, most of the way to tears.
"It's you," he said. "You're back. Praise Andraste. You have to come quickly. It's loose in Hightown. Captain Aveline said she needs mages. Please."
His eyes fell on Hawk.
"Is that the champion?"
Hawk stood up.
"What's loose in Hightown?" he said. "Breathe. Nope, that's it. Deep breath. Tell me."
"The demon,"
Tarly managed.
"No one knows where it came from. It appeared a few days ago out of the Undercity. Help was supposed to be coming, but it's going to be too late. It won't stop killing people. It's so angry. It's so big."
He had to stop again. Fenris thought of the whispering voices down in the ancient Tevinter tunnels, of the ancient and terrible creature that had been guarding the Magister's gate. "I am punishment," it had said. "I am the scourge." It had been quite mad. And they had fled into the Fade under the cover of Solus's ice storm, and they had closed the gate behind them, leaving... He exchanged a glance with Varric, whose horrified expression surely matched Fenris's own.
"Oops,"
said Meryl.